What do you spend your time on? Your kids? Hobbies? Some unique alternate pursuit like politics? Well, we're going to talk about work in this podcast, specifically organic work in podcast 778, the Bob Davis podcast. So, obviously, Thanksgiving is coming, and we have Thanksgiving as a holiday, and we have Christmas as a holiday, and we have New Year's as a holiday. And this is when things start to break down. And it seems like when the heat goes, I once ran out of oil on Thanksgiving, and the house was cold, and I had to spend an hour on the phone with the oil company to plead with them to come out and fill up the tank with oil because I had an oil furnace. Well, why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I didn't check it, and I didn't make sure that the thing was full. And so what did I do? I waited till Thanksgiving and called them and pleaded with them to come out. So when it comes to heating and plumbing and all these different systems at your house or business, especially these days, you want everything running, and you want everything running right, and you want to make sure everything's been checked and functioning before those Murphy's, holidays where, Murphy's Law holidays when things go bad. And I am, of course, talking about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. You want reliable service when things break down, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. In St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown. They are metro-wide from good old St. Paul. And that doesn't matter whether you're north, east, south, or west. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Once again, you call in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, when I started thinking about this podcast tonight, my plan was I was going to sit down and talk about my own business and doing PowerPoint presentations or something. I had to do a PowerPoint presentation last week. And when I do these presentations, it takes me 4 or 5 days because I'll try to cram 85 slides into 5 minutes and I have to practice and it's nuts. And I thought it would be an interesting podcast, but I started thinking about this concept of organic work, and this is where my effort to do a little extra in these podcasts comes through, and so I'm pretty excited to talk to you about organic work in podcast 778. So organic work is a term coined by English philosopher, anthropologist, sociologist, and classic liberal political theorist Herbert Spencer. And it was coined in relation to Polish nationalists who felt that the vital labor of their nation be applied to building a nation versus constant political uprisings that came as a result of overwhelming military strength on either side of Poland in the form of Prussia or Russia. And so I wanted to talk about organic work as it applies to us, especially over the weekend of Thanksgiving. The polls were talking about education, economic development, and modernization for Poland. This was back in the 19th century, I think. So I actually like the term organic work. I have used it a number of times. I've never really fully defined it. It definitely applies in our time when everything is politicized. We don't necessarily have armies, overwhelming armies on either side of our nation prepared to tear it to pieces, but we have a time when everything is politicized, emotions are fueled by news developments, and emotions run high. And I run into a lot of people these days who are upset and disillusioned with things politic. Many of them are involved in politics at some local level, and they aren't all from one part of the local or the national so-called political spectrum. They come from all walks of life and political persuasions. And I debated talking about this because you could also argue that rather than organic work, there's actual real work to be done in politics, but I don't think I agree with that. And that's what I'm talking about. When I run into people and they indicate that they're disillusioned with politics, I always ask about their work, their job or business. And I actually congratulate them and encourage them to spend time improving their performance in business or at their job, and that it's okay to do so. And I'm also, by way of doing that, saying the same thing to myself. Because in this time, maybe this is our version of organic work. Because after all, the people who own small and medium-sized businesses, even small businesses that have been growing, to be big businesses, and the people that work in these businesses and people that work in government and, you know, everything else, doing something that we call careers, that we are, in a way, we are building a nation. We're building a new nation. Because we're building the future, even though it doesn't feel like it all the time. It feels like we're just working. And I wonder, why do we work? Do you work for money, or do you work to live? Does the work that you do fuel your life more than money? Now, it's not hard for me to answer that question, because my work is my life, and it always has been. From the time that I started doing what I do, I have done it as an artist, a radio and television artist, or craftsman, depending on how critical you want to be of the term artist. And I do this work because I live it and I breathe it, and I always have. And leaving the radio and TV industry to join the ranks of the digital content creators doesn't make me any less passionate about what I do. And I really don't think there's really any difference, especially when you're talking about podcasting. Or it doesn't make me feel like any less of an artist when I think about how I do it. In business for myself, though, I have become enthusiastic and passionate about the business of podcasting in the last few years, especially the last year or so, because I started business networking, and it has been an eye-opener for me on so many different fronts. So all through the podcasting thing and the radio thing, I never really thought like a businessman. I thought more like an artist. I never wanted to be a business person. I was never interested in business, never interested in business networking or anything else. Now, the thing about business networking is you have to be in the right group. It isn't the right group in terms of, hey, they have to be the right kind of people. They have to agree with me. I have to agree with them. They have to be whatever. I'm talking about the right kind of group that teaches you what is important to business people and why, just by being associated with them. And this is what I've been doing in the last year. Networking, when I first started networking, I thought networking was you went to some hotel, bar, and you had a cocktail or two and you handed out business cards. That's not what I'm talking about. So when I started podcasting, I don't think that I really had a business plan. I suppose if I had a business plan, I wouldn't be podcasting. And in some ways, you almost couldn't have a business plan when I started podcasting because it was so new. It was as much an afterthought as anything. And I thought that eventually I'd be back in radio, and I was still very much a radio guy. And podcasting was so new, and it was a tough sell. In fact, it was an impossible sell in terms of advertising podcasting. And really, it still is new, very new, and it is still a tough sell. But the good news is businesses are starting to become interested in podcasting as an advertising strategy. And I'll probably do more podcasts about that. And I find myself these days, after being in business networking, real business networking, I realize the misconceptions about podcasting. I have to tell people, no, I don't teach you how to do podcasts. No, I don't build websites or get people who want to do podcasts on the internet. And I know I don't sell interviews. I sell advertising. I create content for the Bob Davis Podcast, and I create content for the Bob Davis Podcast website. And I sell access to that audience to clients. Commercials in these podcasts, banners and links on the blog and so forth and so on. What's unique about what I do is I self-host. That is, my podcasts live on my website at thebobdavispodcast.com. They do not live at Spreaker or Stitcher or any of those venues, those aggregators, even though I am syndicated to those services. So they live at the Bob Davis Podcast and then are syndicated from the podcast to all these other services. So the long and short of this is I have two avenues for advertising: the podcast ads and the blog that supports each podcast. And it took me a long time to figure that out, and I am grateful for business networking to teach me that is kind of the business that I'm in. And so now I'm in the process of learning how podcasting fits in with other advertising options on the internet, which are complementary. But podcasting is becoming an essential part of any advertising strategies, and we podcasters are learning how to do this bit by bit, developing a business and, if you will, an industry a little at a time. And for me, the development is two tracks. It's content and it's sales. And right now I want to do it all. And this is just by way of me telling you a little bit about what my organic work is. All of us podcasters, aggregators, salespeople, digital marketers, and artists, we are building something new, whether we even know that we're doing this, whether we know of each other's work or not. And in some ways, it's better that we don't know about each other's work, because this is a time when originality and innovation can be sterilized by too much cross-pollinization. So I don't necessarily want to know how someone else does it, because I think we should all be developing what we do as we go. We should not be copying. We should be innovating. And by selling what we are doing in the seminal stages, we are learning the ins and outs of the business, getting the experience with actual clients, hearing their objections, trying different things out. So learning all that is actually my organic work, and it is part of this construction of a new industry. And it takes up most of my time, and it also takes up, and more importantly, takes up most of my mental time. So I'm thinking a lot about business these days, and thinking a lot about what business is and how to build a business late in my life, and not thinking or interested in the political part of things. And I hate to say this because some people are going to laugh, but I also think another form of organic work for me is yoga. I spend a lot of time at the yoga studio. I do podcasts about it. And I think in many ways, this is where the real work for me gets done, because so much of what you do when you're in the communications business is mind work. It is energetic. And yoga is a big help for focusing your mind and thinking about what you're thinking about, right? Now, of course, if you're in the business of laying concrete, you got to be out there with the guys doing the work, and you probably aren't in the mind to go do some yoga, and you don't necessarily need to focus the thinking. You would do it only because you would want to. But for people that work with their minds constantly, I think that yoga is a great form of organic work. I have also noticed that for me, a second is a lot longer than most people. I have to stop myself and stop my mind from running away, because things aren't happening fast enough. I have to remember that I'm thinking about something, maybe a seed I planted 2 days ago, and wondering, when is it going to be a tree? And again, I am old enough to know better. Now, so many things these days are commodities. You know, coffee is a commodity. Gas is a commodity. It used to be you had people come out and they would serve you. You had the guy would come out and put gas in your car. And now all that stuff is just a commodity. When was the last time that you bought a product or service somewhere and you thought, God, I wish I'd have known about these guys 10 years ago? Well, that's something that somebody actually said about Johannken Jewelers in Crystal, because this is what they are, because they know that it is key when it comes to the most important things in your life, whether it's your wedding ring, your great-grandfather's watch, your Rolex, or the diamonds in your wife's wedding ring, and wondering whether they are secure. So Johannken Jewelers does great jewelry repair. They have a great selection of diamonds. They have an amazing selection of watches. They can service your Rolex, which is something that you have to do occasionally. And so, especially in the holidays, remember Johannken Jewelers in Crystal, Minnesota, in the same family since 1886. It's not a chain. It's a real place with real people. Johannken's, local family, like the things that are important to you. Johannken Jewelers, known for rebuilding and repairing crowns and settings to perfection, diamonds and gemstones, any and all jewelry repair, watch restoration and service, plus an amazing selection of vintage wristwatches and timepieces that you have to see to believe. Check out johannkenjewelers.net. Lots of great advice and information, including a recent article about jewelry trends for the fall that you might want to read before you buy a Christmas present. Johannken's at 115 Willow Bend in Crystal, 763-537-7233. That's 763-537-7233. Or click on that elegant Johannken's Jewelers banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. Now, if you've been listening to these podcasts, you know that politics isn't something I talk about all the time anymore. You also know that I have been partisan, and you also know that I have had a very strong interest in politics for many, many years. I've worked in politics and I've talked about politics on the radio and in these podcasts for a long time. And you know that I'll just put it this way. I don't even have a love-hate relationship with politics anymore because most of the time I find myself simply not interested in it very much anymore. Yes, I have conversations with friends and family members, but I think the time has long passed when someone who is a commentator has any business telling his or her listeners what they should think or how they should vote. So these days, what I end up doing is waiting until there's something that is of value that advances the story that is extraordinary, because it has become so ordinary to try to work your tribe into a froth because of some assault or offense, or to have people on who are in politics and just have them talk or anything else. That's kind of the normal thing. And so when I can give you extra, I give you extra. And this is kind of a form of that. Now, every now and then when I have to do a lot of podcasts in a given month, you're going to hear me talk about that stuff because it is on my mind and I think about it a lot. But I also spend a lot of time thinking about what is extra and what might be unique and what I'm trying to say and what makes a good podcast and what defeats what some people say is the enemy of the good, which is the ordinary. And I do like this concept of organic work. I used to say to people, if you don't like it, get involved in politics. And I said it for years. And the truth is, a lot of people who listen to me did get involved in politics. And these days, I wonder whether they helped anything. And this is not an attack or anything else. And get involved to see what all these political institutions do, be a delegate or a local party official, run for office. But then for a lot of people, once they get in, they can't get out. It's like a roach motel. Now, I wonder about some of those people in terms of the contribution that they made or the contribution they think that they're making. And by the way, if you're one of my friends, I'm not talking necessarily about you, one of my close friends who's still involved in politics. I guess what I'm saying is, what changes, what improvements were made to the DNA of the political structure locally and nationally, one way or another, because of all these people being involved? I don't necessarily think, looking at the landscape today, if I don't think it's better. And then we come back to this concept of organic work. So a friend who is disillusioned, who has given up on politics, I think if you say to them, it's okay, because you still have your work, you still have your career, you still have go do the work. Whenever I get caught up in outcomes, I think to myself, go do the work. Go sit down and do the work. And you always feel better when you start to do the work. And as I said, for me, the work now isn't just doing a podcast. Although, you know, when I sell a lot, I have to do a lot of podcasts. But it's also sitting down and talking to people about business with business people and trying to figure out the business angles and the real, you know, sort of building blocks of building something. And I bring that up because I think we can forget when we get all upset about something, or we've got this sort of we've got one foot over here in politics and one foot over here in a job. People forget that that we're building the future with our work as well. And the truth is, and I've said this before, I've done podcasts about it before, I've made this observation I don't know how many times. Now there's a Delta ad running on Facebook that actually, you know, is derived from this observation that I made 2 years ago, driving around all over the country, that when you are driving through this country in towns and cities, or when you're 35,000 feet up, as in the Delta ad, which is fabulous, by the way, there aren't any red or blue places. There's just places. You drive through a town, I don't know, pick one. Pick a town, Butte, Montana, or Kansas City. There's a guy driving the F-150 with the construction company logo, and what's he doing? He's trying to serve as many clients as he can. He's not thinking about political persuasion. The local coffee place just wants to sell coffee to as many customers as they can. The people in that town running the schools, regardless of the political orientation of some, the clerks, the city, the state employees, and so forth, they're engaged in the organic work of building what is soon going to be the present. The daycare place has to treat all the kids, regardless of their parents' political orientation, and if I might, whether or not the parent is going through some kind of divorce or an alcoholic or whatever their problem is. When some of us think about politics, we think we're responsible to a party or an ideal or even an idea. And I am increasingly thinking that's nonsense. But in our work, we are responsible to clients, to our co-workers, to ourselves, to the companies, and so forth. Personally, I like being in business for myself because you're responsible to yourself. The benefits of all the things that you do that are right accrue directly to you, and the problems and the negatives and the demerits that accrue because you made a mistake accrue directly to you. There's no one else to blame when you do something, you make a mistake, and there's also no one else to give the credit to when you do something great. We've been taught to believe that business in this country and government just runs by itself, and that somehow Americans, it runs by itself because somehow Americans understand intuitively the principles of freedom or even of capitalism or how a government agency is supposed to work. And, you know, we know how to do this stuff because we're Americans. But lately, I have come to believe that this is not true and that all is not well in many American businesses, in many American government offices, and in government services, and in many American homes. Things don't always work at all. Sometimes it feels like nobody's responsible and nobody cares. You know, we spend a lot of time on hold. We spend a lot of time trying to correct something that was done wrong or done online by some algorithm that was a mistake. And day-to-day life then becomes very stressful and a struggle. And you never know when someone is close to the breaking point in your day-to-day dealings. Some people don't think elections work very well, despite the best efforts of the people who actually volunteer to make them happen. And we see evidence of that all over the place. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if you add to that the fact that a lot of these big companies have vast armies of employees, and I have come to the conclusion that many of those vast armies of employees really don't do much in a given day. And for those of us in small business, some days it feels like all you can do is just hold on until the next day. Tomorrow, things are going to get better. Next week, it's going to be easier. And you have no reason for even saying that. You just say it because you believe it. So we have a lot of problems, all of us, small business, large business, government, towns and cities, people. And then you get into this question of families that are struggling, people that are struggling. And nobody wants to talk about that stuff because the smart quip that would be put up on Twitter or the meme on Facebook might be about you and about someone in your family or someone you know, and then it's not really funny. As we head into the holiday season, and I hate to say it, but yeah, Thanksgiving and then this run that feels like 6 months and it's 30 days to Christmas and then a short run to the new year. This is a time when people sit back and they start to think about things. You know, we hear and I hear and we're all the same. Hear about the holidays and this is a time for family. And this is a time to be grateful for things that in your life that are important and everything else. But what I think about when I get a little time off, which I probably won't have that much, at least in November, maybe a little bit in December. But for me, I think about the work. And what I mean by that is I think about the work that I'm trying to do. And it's a great time this time of the year to revisit, you know, technically speaking, when the harvest was over, when we were all, you know, agriculturally oriented, because that's all there was no industry, there was no technology, there was no electronic media, there was no digital, there was no office work, so to speak. Most of us were farmers. And, you know, we planted in the spring and we tended the crops in the summer. And in the winter, when the harvest was out, we sat and we thought about what we were going to do next year. And we planned and maybe we did a little bit of work in fixing and mending. And but pretty much you stayed inside because you couldn't go outside because it was too damn cold, especially in the ice age, which it begins to feel like sometimes around here. Now what I think about is what am I trying to accomplish? What is my purpose in business and with what I'm doing? What can I do better? How do I grow this thing? How do I scale it up? But the one thing that I've learned this year in business and in business networking, and especially the networking And I want to say this for all of my friends that are part of my networking group, that I have learned, and it does not come easily to me. I am not this kind of person. I don't say these kinds of things, but I have learned that most of the things that you accomplish in business, you do not accomplish by yourself. You get other people's help, and you become very grateful for other people's help. You get help from your clients, you get help from your friends, you get help from your associates. We all do it together. And as I said, that is not a conclusion that I came by easily. It is not some collective, you know, Marxist BS. It's just the truth about how things work in terms of businesses and how people network to get together, you know. And I know it's been about politics and it's about work and these other different things, but as I reflect on a year of politics and a lot of thought and a lot of research and all this other stuff about things that we've looked at this year, we have a lot of work to do when it comes to building something new in this country. And we can't do it alone. We have to work as a team. And I don't care what your political persuasion is. I hate even thinking about that nonsense, that political spectrum nonsense. And I detest all of the mean and partisan picking and criticisms that is tearing the country apart. And I think it means for some of us, maybe all of us, that we're going to have to work with and even serve people we may not agree with politically. And it's going to get difficult because we have to do it to build the future. And this isn't some, by the way, building the future is not some pie in the sky thing. We are literally building the future. You know, we are literally making the future happen in the present time frame. That's what we're in the process of doing when we go to work, when we teach, when we, you know, do podcasts, when we go to business meetings. We're actually building the future in the present. That's what we're doing. And that's the organic part of this. You don't build a decent economy or a decent method of education. You don't help people who need your help. You don't help yourself with this kind of angry stuff. And when you get into a group of people, and I'm going to tell you, everybody is involved with some group of people. When you get involved with a group of people, you don't talk that way to them because they will reject you. Anybody would. You don't communicate in memes and barbs, and you don't communicate in angry shouts and screams and pointing because you'll be rejected, because anybody would reject you. And this is why we convene with people of quote-unquote like mine. But when you network in a business world, you're networking with people who are excited about their business, and they might have a different political point of view. Now, this isn't anything new. This isn't something that I didn't know before. It's just something that I have come to actually have, you know, close up experience with in terms of building. And so when I talk about organic work, and when we're actually talking about building, this isn't some pie in the sky political speech where somebody says, you know, looking to the future, there's the man in the field against the blue skies of the Midwest behind him, and he's the forgotten man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the work we do on a day-to-day basis to build our towns and cities and businesses, and that makes up our world. And I think people have neglected it because I think that they are broken down and depressed and pushed to the point of breaking by a lot of very negative political stuff. And it's not getting fixed. The political stuff is not getting fixed. The more I talk about it with my friends and my family, the more I have conversations, the more there's a sense of, you know, real hopelessness in terms of fixing it. That one party's in and one party's out, and then the other guy's going to win. We're going to go back and forth. And some people refer to that as whipsawing. There have been things written about it. There have been TV shows about it. There have been books about it. And what's left is what we actually have in terms of our organic work. And if you think, well, that's nothing because we're not fixing anything, I think it's a lot more than nothing. I think organic work, building our communities and our companies and everything else, is really the essence of what capitalism and what quote-unquote democracy is all about. It's learning to work together. And we are not working together, people. We are not working together. Even people in their own, you know, who are under one political roof are not working together. because everybody wants to be in charge and everybody wants to say who's right and wrong and everybody wants to point fingers. So when it comes to organic work, it's the work that we do. It's where we go to work every day. It's, you know, it's the guys on the loading dock. For me, it's the other business people that I deal with once a week at my quote unquote sales meeting. For me, it's, you know, figuring out what to talk about. For other people, it's being a teacher. For other people, it's driving a truck. You know, whatever it is, that is really the most important thing that we can do right now. And I think let me just put it to you this way. This time of the year, when everything starts to slow down and you can't get people on the phone, it's a good time to take a breath and think about the work that we do and what it means to us and what it means to the people that we are serving, whether they're clients or whatever you want to call them. And so that is what I've been thinking about this weekend. And thanks for listening. Yeah, a little preachy, but I think it's an interesting thing, and I hope it's extra for you. And happy Thanksgiving coming up this week. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Spreaker.com, Google Play, and, of course, the Google Podcast app. And thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter, and for your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 778.
Much work, yeah.